Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our
young people here today to sing with us and their adults to sing along with them. It's just a good time to look back to the songs about God's time and all the other things about it. Let's sing a couple of those old hymns and songs that we sang at camp as well as Vacation Bible School as we're going along throughout the year. In the beginning God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cared. In the middle he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hipporay, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hipporay, God made all of us. Wonderful song that we sang to be a part of life and a part of the ways. But there's another song that we sing and talk about glorify. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. He will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. So hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Wonderful things of life that you learn as you go. And today's lesson is the study of proving. How God wants us to prove. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and down at verse 21, he said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. When we find ourselves in life going out making decisions as to what we ought to be saying, what we ought to be doing, we have to be approved by way of God to have His right way. Look at that particular verse once again, and the following verse of 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 and then 22. He says in 21, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. And then he says the following. He says, regarding evil, abstain from all appearance of evil. When we talk about the ways of God wants us to live, He wants us to abstain from every way that is not right. There are people where we may have gone in days gone by who were part of drinking and drunkenness. Is that good? Is that helpful? Or should we abstain from that way of life? There are people who use profanities where we go, and they are vulgar against God and their fellow man. Should we say those words ourselves? Should we pray for those individuals to be mended from that particular way of life to express themselves? Should we be people who look at the way of God and prove all things, hold fast what's good, and abstain from every appearance of evil? It may take a time for us. It may take a good while for us. But we will practice at it, and God will help us in that regard, as He helped those in the New Testament time to find themselves growing in the ways of the Lord. 1 Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, the gospel preacher and the teacher, whose mom and whose grandmother had taught him the faith. And he had learned it. And when Paul came through Lystra, here was the message that they had been talking about, the Savior, the Lord. And he wanted to be a part of that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says to him in verse 12, be thou an example to the believer. Here's the way that you be an example of the believer. You just go out here and just say that I want to be an example of the believer? Or do you go out here and say, I want to be an example by the words that I say? By my conversation, my behavior, my manner of life that I exhibit. I want to wear the kind of clothes that ensure my modesty. I want to walk the kind of walk that ensures my way of life, in the way that others would want to follow and do the practice that I'm doing in life. In my words, in my manner of life, let me be an example to the believer. Then he goes on to say in charity, and the word charity there used for the agape love, the kind of godlike love. Love my fellow man and care about my fellow man in such a way that when at work, when I'm working at place, I find that there's somebody in terrible need. Someone's family is in the hospital for cancer. Someone's there with great expenses of going to the hospital and coming from the hospital. If they go and stay, there's certain expenses that they have more incurred now than they have ever had. I want to be compassionate to them. I want to have the charity of God with them. And I want to have that kind of love for them that I'll help. I may not have in my billfold, I may not have in my bank account all that they need. But others of the local body of Christ of which I'm a part, when I was saved from sin, added by the Lord to His church, day by day those that were being saved, according to Acts 2, in reference to that matter. So I call upon them. And I tell them about people that I know and aware and have good people and helpful people, but they're in times of great cost and great illness and great need. We all participate in together here in a wonderful way. We've not had the people to call on us at the time of Thanksgiving that we normally have had. I don't know that it's, I don't think we've misbehaved in that regard. But I think in regard to this matter that some didn't realize how we follow up on that. You see, we help people in regard to the needs that they have, food and so forth. Our pantry back here is just loaded with things to be of help to them. Now then, when we help them along the way, we find out a name, we find out a telephone number, we find out, if we can, where they live. And we drop by to visit with them. We find that they've not always told us, in fact, there's been hardly anybody that comes for any helping hand has told us really their need. And when we find out that they've got greater needs, we find ourselves coming back to the pantry and extending more help to them and more assistance to them. There's more that was needed there than they said when they came. They didn't want to overdo it. They didn't want to overstate it. They didn't want to have too much to be carried away. And that's the idea of mine. They didn't mean to tell a falsehood, but they didn't tell everything. And when you visit with them, or call them on the phone and talk to them about their needs along the way, they express a need there and an interest there. And hopefully there'll be some that will carry on that work. Thank you for your good work with that, because we can work together in that regard and not have a great burden on any one or any two families, but everyone working together. This is a great time of the year to go to a convenience store and pick up a sale. Not Black Friday, but every day be a Friday. And we can pick up some things along the way that will be of help along the way. And when our pantry gets short, then we'll say more and more about that. We put it in the bulletin. This is what's needed. These are particular things that are needed. They're asked for as they come along the way to be of help. When we're people who are like that, we're following what Paul said to Timothy to be. Be a person of charity. Be a person of God-like love. Be a compassionate person to somebody in need. And you see the needs around you, and you minister to them. As a result of that, you're a person that's different. And you're different because of the Lord. And being different because of the Lord, the words that I've changed, I don't talk like I used to talk anymore, I don't go the places I used to go anymore, that becomes effective as to a friendship with somebody. Someone there may ask why you believe what you believe. Why do you worship in singing without an instrument? I want to prove all things and hold fast what's good. I want to prove in regard to the New Testament that there's not a time that in the New Testament they're telling us to sing with the mechanical accompaniment of instruments. We find that we're to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord, Ephesians 5 and verse 19. We find that we're to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. For our God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thus we gather together and we sing together. Melodies to God, but encouragement to one another. We find ourselves praying together and saying amen at the close of a prayer. Lord, so let this prayer be. So let the words of this prayer be my words too. And we're led in prayer in that regard. In 1 Corinthians chapters 11, 12, and 15, you'll find examples of that thing stated and noted in the New Testament of your Bible. The church there at Corinth didn't always do that. They found themselves using all kinds of strange words that people didn't understand when they came to a service and left saying that those folks are insane. But when they came back to realize that they did change the way that they talked, then they changed the way that they sang and prayed and preached on that early church. On the first day of the week, the brethren gathered at Troas in Acts 20 and verse 7 to partake of the Lord's Supper. The bread represented the body of our Lord Jesus. The cup, the fruit of the vine, represented his blood that was shed. The opportunity to give to the common cause of the Lord's work was given on the first day of the week. And as I gave order to the churches of Galatia, so do you at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, lay by him in store as God has prospered him on the first day of the week. Opportunity to give and to put into a common treasury for missionary work that's being done around the world. And I mentioned at the close of class today how that Brother John Pigg reported last week tremendous support and help had come to them for the work in Mexico. And the brethren are steadily teaching and baptizing people into Christ that they know of their friends because they did what? What we just mentioned. They became people who were interested in them, showed compassion toward them, extended some help toward them as a congregation of people, not just an individual who did something, but as a congregation together. They wanted to know more about this gospel, and more about this message, more about why you live this way, more about this way that I too can live. men, women, young people, baptized into Christ. Threats to the local churches and the local authorities, yes. There's going to be some rising up eventually, if not sooner than later. We pray for them. Now, Timothy, be an example to the believer in your faith and in your purity. Be pure in life. Don't take advantage of somebody because they are in need and take advantage of them to be impure and immoral in your ways of conduct in life. But be a person who is filled with faith, believing. That takes me back to Romans 14, verse 23. In which Paul writes, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What are we talking about here? The decisions that we make, the things that we practice in life. If we say to ourselves, I'm fixing to do this, I don't know what good comes from it, I don't know if any good will come from it at all, I just don't know about it. Do we really have in those words the faith that we believe? That this deed that we're fixing to do, believing that God will be with it and God will bless it? Or do we sin? We miss the mark when we don't say things and do things in faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sinful. Now that word faith in that passage of Scripture may be also a part of the faith. When we're talking about the faith, we're talking about the faith that was delivered. The gospel message. And that's the preaching and teaching that should be done in every faithful congregation today. The message of Christ Jesus and the message of our Lord. That's the way of life to lead. When I prove all things and hold fast what's good, and I go about proving my words, my manner of life, my love, my charity, my spirit and zeal for life, my enthusiasm to live for the Lord in life, my way of life and faith, how that I pray in faith in the contributions made and the good situations that are done. And I pray of purity that I maintain. There are temptations that I see around me all the time. May see them in a movie. May see them on a television show. May see them by a friend who's in my class or a friend who is in my workplace. They're leading an impure and immoral way of life. Offering themselves along that way, I want to be a part of that. Unless I want to be an example of Tupas for Christ Jesus. Now being an example of the believer, I want to be pure in my words, pure in my jokes I tell, pure in my way of conduct as I'm with them, around them, and about them. You know, they'll call on somebody to come over to the house to help out with a situation. And you may have that particular piece of equipment to go over to that house and help out. But there's another intention. Come in and have a sandwich. Come in and have a Coke. Come in and... But there's more to it. If I'll be pure in life, what will I be doing? If I'll be pure in life, what example I show? Instead of proving it to be a problem, a trouble, unhappiness. Thanks for your study with us today and your awareness of this. And thank you very much for being a part of this first Sunday in December 2019. Can't believe that all these years have come and gone by. I was talking this morning at the end of class about our training school program. We're 50 years old. And I was talking about some of the discussions that Miss Jane's dad and I had early 50 years ago when we began the school, training preachers and teachers and personal workers. We started out just with the preachers, but we quickly moved on to the request for our teaching methods. And we quickly moved on from that to the personal work that's being done. And we've offered that. Now hundreds of people have been preaching the gospel for it, teaching the gospel by the thousands. It's just a good thing to be done. And we can help each other. Thank you for your help you've already rendered. And thank you for listening today in this study. As the song of invitation is mentioned to you, if you accept Jesus' invitation to come forward, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized into Him as did the Ethiopian on the roadside there in Gaza in the book of Acts chapter 8, then do that today. Don't fail to do that in your life. Don't presume that there'll be no accident take place that takes you from this earth. Don't presume there won't be a sudden stop of the heart that takes you from this earth. On life's other side, we'll be prepared if we find ourselves obedient to the Lord today. We'll prove all things and hold fast what's good. Would you come to Jesus as we stand in as we sing together today?
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong.
Time with your family over the Thanksgiving time, and that they all arrived home very safely. And our family did. We're thankful for that. And for the great memory we have of little Olivia. Miss Jane will be able to tell you a few stories about things she said while she was here over the last week. God bless you.
Beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior.